It is Friday, August 23rd. Just wrapped up the open practice for fans in the Caesars Superdome here on Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, and Jeff Nowak. As we're taking it up to 7 o'clock tonight, we got some great guests for you as well as some sound to get to. 5 o'clock hour, Scott Shanley, Super Bowl chant, Saints pregame and postgame analyst will be joining us. And then at 6 o'clock hour, a Hall of Famer, Morten Andersen, Pro Football Hall of Fame kicker, the Great Dane will be stopping by.
The Great Dane is stopping by and look, he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. You know, a lot of times, you know, football players look at, man, he's a damn kicker or a punter. Oh, we ain't putting him in the Hall of Fame. But wait, you know what's crazy? It is a position. Why do we not have our Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, is Ray Guy in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? They have an award named after him,
right?
The greatest punter. But to me, if that's a position and Ray Guy's noted as like the premier punter, we got to put a punter in the Hall of Fame. But Jan Stenerud and Morten Andersen, but I would tell Morten.
In 2014, he was inducted in.
So finally. But look how long it took. It's a position. You know, like a lot of football players say, oh, he's a damn like kicker punter.
Here's what I would say. Are you going to put special teamers in? Like, are you going to say, well, this guy was a great, you know, gunner?
Right.
Gunner. Like, I think there is a positional value there. But the problem is, when you're a punter, all you can do is punt. So you have to weigh that.
Now, you know what happened, who finally got into today? And I thought, well, deserving. You might not agree with this, Jeff or Steve. Devin Hester.
Yep.
You look at the return game. You know, we always look at like a Deion Sanders, Devin. I said, Devin Hester, hell yeah, you should be.
I think you can. The weird thing about Devin Hester is he wasn't good at the position that he actually played.
Right. But as a returner, punter, kick returner, yeah.
Did he start as a receiver or did he start as a cornerback? I can't remember. He changed.
He was kind of like, who's the guy who's no longer with the Falcons? A big running
Cordero
guy.
Patterson.
Yes.
Cordero,
yeah. He's kind of like, look at a weapon.
He started as a wide receiver. They changed it to a running back. He's like a little better as a running back, but he still isn't good.
Right. But as a returner, all of a sudden, oh, look at an impactful play as a kick returner. Where is he at now? He's not with Atlanta. Was he not with Pittsburgh? Or
I think he is with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I want to say the Steelers. I don't know.
About Cordero is that, like, if he came into the league during Devin Hester's time, he would have been a huge player. Like, he would have been a guy.
Right.
Because he actually did have value at the position he played. He came into the league when returns were getting phased out, and he had a few early in his career. But, like, what would his career – would he have been a Hall of Fame option if he came into the league 10 years earlier?
The closest player I ever was around that, and he was impactful, Jim Finks didn't want to pay him, was Mel Gray. A USFL in the LA Express with Steve Young. Now, he's a running back out of Purdue, you know, like Drew Brees. The thing about Mel Gray, I'm thinking, how did he pass school at Purdue?
Not the sharpest tool.
I'm telling you, in 2 years, he knew 5 plays. We call a play in the huddle, and then, you know, we wanted to utilize it. Sometimes he'd be a decoy. We'd get his hands on the ball. So I call a play, and Carl Swin, just tell him what to do. And it was truly that ad-lib. But as far as punt return, kick return, it was unbelievable. Talk about hitting and getting it. And I think he not only had success with the Saints, but the Detroit Lions as a returner. So, no, you look at the expertise. It is truly, and how do we view? Don't we view us if we're not the best in the conversation with Rashid Shaheed? I don't know if you're all pro. Isn't that like both AFC and NFC? And that guy's on our team as a returner. We all remember the impactful game, but we wasted it against the Packers. You run back a punt for a touchdown, you should never lose. That type of game where we did in Green Bay, you get a big return like Rashid Shaheed did for a touchdown against the Packers. Those games you cannot lose.
You know, there's a natural segue here that we could use.
Oh, tell me, Jeff.
Saints brought back Andrew Dowell today.
Oh, Andrew.
Speaking of specialty.
Tackling machine.
And that's the thing. He's, you know, you look at him, and I don't think he's going to make the roster, but he's a guy that makes a whole lot of sense on the practice squad, and you can use some of those game day elevations for him. And Dennis Allen, I asked him today, he said, yeah, he's going to play on Sunday. Why? Because we don't have to teach him anything. He knows.
He knows. You know? And the one thing about him, Jeff, what I've always liked from day one, we've interviewed him. I remember just interviewed him on the side, Steve. You know, just can't get hurt when you're that kind of guy.
Right.
But he was always in the top 2 or 3 in tackles on special teams, coverage units. I want to say we got him from Dallas.
Yeah,
he went to Michigan State. And no,
And they even cut the guy who was wearing his number, so he's still in 40.
Yeah, so to me, like, if you look at Dowell, how he is, he would be like, he knows his role. He goes, listen, I might play an emergency at linebacker. See, I don't think he even has the linebacking skills of Anthony Orji or DeMarco. But didn't DeMarco get hurt?
He did. He got a calf injury. So I'll tell you who he is. He's Craig Robinson.
Yeah. Look at Craig Robinson, North Texas State. Right. I mean, come on. You can't get – no, those roles – you got to know your role and just take advantage of that if you want to be a pro. Then you make a living. Now you have to have luck with injuries and all that. Dowell's that kind of individual. The coaches love him because it's one of those yes, sir, no, sir guys and just do what the hell I tell you. I could trust you. You trust me. I trust you. And then you make plays. Then all of a sudden – like Craig Robinson, you last a long time, and you have a job. So, yeah, that's why D.A. and all didn't have a problem with him because, you know, you rehab and you work hard, and they've had past experiences with him, so we're going to give him an opportunity.
Yeah, looking at today's practice, guys, some of the fans showed up for the practice in the Dome, so they got a little taste of training camp this week, the one at Tulane, and then obviously today in the Caesars Superdome, and then boom, Sunday, I guess you could call it a glorified practice when the Saints will be taking on the Tennessee Titans and the preseason finale, but that's also a big old job interview, lots of roster spots still to be determined for this squad.
Yeah, and I brought this up to D.A., just doing a little homework for a preseason game. Don't you view the Titans as like a blue-collar team? I guess maybe because they had Derrick Henry, too, and they're going to run it down your throat.
And with Vrabel as their head coach.
Yeah, I feel like Vrabel had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, and it was like, it seemed like, I don't know, you better pack a lunch, because they bring it in the trenches, offensive and defensive line. And so Dennis says that he still sees that on film.
Right.
And I just go by the sample size. I was looking at, oh, you know how we kind of been up and down, and as of late, we got to turn around. How much yards rushing are you giving up a game, or yards per carry? Well, I want to say, if you really look at all the seasons going up to now, since 2017, the Titans were like up there like with the Ravens and stuff, either one or two as far as like, no, you ain't getting 4 yards against us, or you're not getting 100 yards. Now, I'd be interested to see when you have a coaching change, more leaning towards an offensive philosophy, how that might change. But, yeah, that would be a good measuring stick because what do we want right now? We're not worried about our D-line, but our O-line. Okay, can we win in the trenches? Not necessarily even focus on the skill positions, but can we win in the trenches? And I just look at those Titans as one of those traditional teams like – they hard-nosed. You can't just show up and go through the motions. You better bring it because they're going to bring it.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing who ends up playing for both teams in this matchup because I think it's still pretty unclear what players are going to be active. Would you imagine that Derek Carr sees any action?
We disagree on this front.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jeff, you're going to say, this is the only thing I say. I'd say for sure Derek Carr would be playing. If we wouldn't have that 95-yard drive.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Because we can't go going three and out. It's like it took us five drives really to get going. You look at the Cardinals and the 49ers game. So I think based on that, that doesn't mean you won't see some starters, but a lot of fans like, okay, yeah, we know who's the offensive starters, but what about the quarterback? What about Derek Carr? Now, I don't know, Jeff, you think he'll play a series? Or?
So here's my thing. I think in the preseason, one of the things you want to make sure to do is to get people feeling confident, to build confidence going into the season. You're not really installing anything. You're not getting, other than working on timing, which I still think he and Chris Olave and some of these guys need to do, I don't know if you're going to gain anything by setting him out there. And if you go out there and have a couple three and outs, suddenly all that confidence
everybody's
built
pissed off
is gone. Now, I do think you see Trevor Penning. I think you see,
yes.
I think you see the first team offensive line. Without maybe Eric McCoy. Caesar, maybe not as well, but I think you want to see Taliese and you want to see whoever it is at left guard, who I don't know that's going to be
left
right
guard
now.
Or right tackle.
And I want to see Jake Haener play with the first teamers that you send out there because that's my only real question left at the quarterback position. Who's my backup? A good way to kind of get an idea of that is to send Jake Haener out there, let him start the game with some of the players that he'd be playing with if he got in as a backup and see how he handles it.
So you think a half for each?
I think Spencer a half for Rattler each. I think Jake you Haener. Have Jake Haener take the first half, you have Spencer Rattler take the second half, and you go from there. I think, to me, Jake can win the job or lose the job. I think it's on him personally.
Yeah, well, but without a doubt, because last preseason, Jake Haener sucked. And no, he was awesome in practice, but he's playing way better now than
he did. I thought he was solid in the first couple preseason games, and then he really sold hard in the last one.
Oh, that might be true, Joe. Maybe I got that.
Your final impression.
Yeah.
He tried to throw to Lucas Kroll 19 times, and they figured it out.
The thing is, he's a whole lot better this year. He's just more stable. I can tell you what, the practice will be going on a break. Jake Haener, they went inside yesterday at practice, and I just looked at, because I look at a quarterback, how he's staring down the receivers. One time he had a good eyes thing, and it was kind of an option route to the running back, James Robinson. Now he just threw it here to there, but it was a good angle on target, moved the defense with his eyes. That had been a plus 20, plus 30 yard gain. Then all of a sudden, he hits A.T. Perry for a couple of catches. One of them was plus 30. He hit Stanley Morgan Jr., plus 30, like on a skinny post. And then I was like, whoa. And then I look at this. I don't know, Haener to Austin. That'll be interesting to see. Jeff, what do y'all think? Where Austin is, that Kevin Austin. You can say Samson Nakua, who can more special teams. But I look at Kevin Austin. When he hit him 45-yard, that was the play of the day inside in practice. And then as we go on the break, how about Spencer Rattler? He threw a beautiful pass today. Mm. And right in front of the fans in the dome, Rattler to Juwan Johnson. I think we count on him. Plus 20-yard touchdown. And I was whoever. Meeting
I think it
people.
Was his first throw of the day.
Yes, whoever was standing around, I was like, well, I can tell you what. That throw right there. Look at the whole NFL starting quarterbacks. I don't care if you're Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, whatever. They can't do it better than that.
That's a pro-caliber throw, right?
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful piece of work.
Nice to have Juwan Johnson back in the mix, too.
Yeah. We need him. We need him. And he's in a contract year. So usually players contract year, they a little motivated and play a little better.
Who was out at that Saints practice? Want to hear from you, who that's. Give us a shout on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's 504-260-1870. You know the numbers. Use them. We'll be right back with more of Sports Talk right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We just got here after spending the day in the Caesars Superdome for the open practice, the black and gold held in front of fans today. I want to get into some of the sound from Dennis Allen to bring to you, so our training camp sound bank brought to you by the sound banking of First American. Dennis Allen was asked, Clint Kubiak will be calling plays on the field this game after having the previous two in the press box. What's up with that, Coach?
Listen, I think it's just one of those things. I want to get him down on the field. We've had two games with him up in the box. I want to get him down on the field and evaluate it. See how it goes. See what it operates like. And so I think ultimately, what we need to do is we need to do what's best for our players, number one, and then secondly would be. You know, we see how Clint likes it in terms of his comfortability calling from upstairs or downstairs.
Well, if you're not dealing with the human element, and you always are, that's what you're dealing with. Your vantage point, you can see the defense way better.
From upstairs.
Yeah, it ain't even close.
Right.
Versus
field level.
That's
tough.
What I've always felt. I think there's value in having the play caller up there. Because see, not necessarily what you're doing, what the defense is doing.
Yes, no, what the defense, how you going to
call a play. Like how the safety's playing,
how you going to set up plays. The only thing why I think it works, because I've done.
That interaction between the player and coach?
Interaction, if you're young. Like I would say, if that's a Spencer Rattler or Jake Haener, but Derek Carr, come on.
But wouldn't you say it's like college players are used to that? Like most college offensive coordinators are going to be up.
Yes, I've been a part of both. If you have the offensive coordinator on the field, then whoever's up in the boot almost has to be a clone of the offensive coordinator. It's like 1 and 1A. Like Carl Smith always wanted to be on the sideline. So, Coach Wallace and all, what they were sending down, they had the run game, pass game, to put their input, they were thinking on the same wavelength. But then, when I look at, June Jones and different people, like I said, I've been part of both Coach Leahy. They'd be up in the press box. But you get more veteran quarterback, they don't have to look the coach in the eye to get things done. No, you could get an. But what do they have now? You remember? They used to have a phone. Remember? You see those old films and you pick up the phone.
Right.
And all? So, Jeff, what do they do now? They have they just talk through the helmet? If they try to talk to the press box?
Well, no, I don't think the players can talk back through the helmet. I think they would have to get on a headset to talk back.
Oh, the headset. But
yeah, they can hear. He can hear Clint in his headset, but he can't respond.
Yeah,
that's my understanding.
Like, they talk to the press box. You have to pick up an actual phone.
Yeah.
I saw an interview a while back that Joe Montana said he would just call his wife sometimes on the sideline.
I don't know. That much sounds like that sounds like
feedback?
A little. That sounds like a little BS, right there.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if they dial out.
Yeah.
A rotary dial phone.
Yeah, I think that's just like a direct line.
Little long story there. He's telling.
Yeah, direct line. But who knows? It's Joe Montana. They might have been so far ahead he could do the hell he wants. So
To me, the thing is, if you trust Andrew Janoco and you trust John Benton, who's the new offensive line coach, Janoco's the quarterback's coach, you trust the wide receivers coach to be able to be kind of a carbon copy and like speak on the same wavelength as Clint.
Right.
If they can communicate the same way, it's not an issue. If there's stuff getting hung up in translation and you're not, and the players don't feel like they're getting the information the right way or as quickly or as effectively, then it becomes a problem. So that's really, it's not really whether you need him up there, you need him down there. It's whether the communication works.
It's all about communication. Because it can't be a cluster, you know what. Okay, shut up. The coach is screaming, shut up. Too many people are talking. They're all trying to put their input. There almost has to be a natural flow, ebb and flow.
Right.
And how, who's talking what. Okay, down in distance. Okay, what are my running options? Let's say you're on the field, Clint Kubiak. What are my running options down in distance? Passing options. And then you kind of go from there. But not like I always cut you off, Steve. Whatever. Not everybody talking at once. So you know, that's when you got to be a good listener sometimes. And
so, Bobby, if you were in this, if you were part of that communication, would it be a problem?
No. This is what I would do. I'd want to be in the press box, and I would just say, "This is what we're running." And now, someone on side of me wouldn't be communicating. Where a lot of people are hearing this.
Yeah.
Give me a bunch of like first down, second down, third down runs, and in fact, you know, the running game coordinator, passing game coordinator, and then I'm ultimately making the decision, and then I'm sending it down who my quarterback trusts. It might be the wide receiver coach, but they talk one on one, and then this is what we're doing to take that approach. You know, talk about play calling, how it makes all the difference. Who gets more credit than he deserves for winning an LSU national championship with Joe Burrow? And he's in the NFL with the Bills.
Brady.
Joe Brady.
Yeah. Guess who was calling the plays?
Steve Ensminger.
I'm telling you.
He was the pass game coordinator.
What he would do is he would tell Ensminger now and then, help him out on third and long situations or maybe some red zone plays. But as far as calling those plays with that record-breaking offense, Steve Ensminger is too humble. Steve Ensminger should get way more credit than what he did. Now, Steve's so humble, he just, let me just coach the tight ends. You know, I'm making a good living. But he was actually a coordinator, and he had a lot of skins in the wall. Way back in the day, like I want to say Clemson, Georgia, before he even came back to LSU. You know, he was an old LSU quarterback. You know, Steve Ensminger tried out for the Saints at quarterback. I don't
know. What's his nickname? The Gunslinger? What was his nickname?
Steve was awesome to hang out with. I had a few good nights with him. Steve was awesome. But a lot of times people don't give him enough credit because he didn't toot his
horn. Nickname was Slinger.
Yeah, so he didn't toot his horn to get all that recognition. So the bottom line is you look how productive they were. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, Jeff, like you're saying. Whether Coach Kubiak's on the field or he's in the press box, you cannot have chaos. It has to be smooth. You got to have the communication
right. I
have a
question for you. So now, obviously, the tablets, right? Like, if you're on the sideline, you got to look at the tablets and they show you the pictures. That's obviously a lot faster than it used to be. How did they communicate those pictures and images when you were playing?
Polaroids. They had this string.
Someone out there shaking them to get them ready?
No, but they had this string that they would take from above, and these Polaroids would slide down the string in the dome.
Sounds efficient.
And then all of a sudden, but it was still pictures, you know, and it was like, then you kind of figure, okay, look how they're rotating the defense, how they're trying to disguise the defense. So that was like the dinosaur days,
right?
When you think about that. No, it was so primitive,
right?
But that's all you had.
Well, are you able to, I've always wondered, you know, how how much can you really take away from the like the still images? Because you can't see how the safety's kind of rolling down.
This is how they would do it, Jeff. They would take like a bunch of, you get like a pre-snap look.
Yeah.
Then they put the ball in the snap. Then as the play is in progress and on the back end when the play is finishing, you could see how they rotate. If they're trying to disguise too deep and the safety kicks down. It was more.
Right.
And then you could see where he ended up.
If you can't see, like, oh, maybe he bluffed this or did that. Like,
No. It was like, where'd he end up? Yeah. It was like, where'd he end up? And I thought what was the most unusual thing, and you take for granted, and I don't know why college football took so long to do this, why in the hell you can't communicate in the helmet?
Yeah, you know, this year they just started.
Yeah,
doing
they
that,
just
right.
did in college and go, what are you doing? That should have been 20 years.
Well, that's
years
why they
ago.
Have all those crazy billboards and signs on the sidelines. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing, but we're just like, yeah, it works. Let's keep doing it.
No, because the only bad thing.
Well, and just not to cut you off, but that's why the whole Michigan thing happened, because you can steal the signs they're communicating.
Yeah, now, I've been a part of both. And oh, man, this is so much easier when the coach can actually talk to you in your helmet. Versus it was like baseball. We had to do hand singles.
Right.
And then you had to end up changing the hand singles because the team is filming what you're doing, so how you called plays. Now, you know what sucked? Is if you got hit hard and you got dinged. Oh, my God, he's doing all these hand singles.
You're right. And then, you're seeing too many of them.
Oh, in 1989 when I got my teeth knocked out and all of a sudden I can't even like focus and sending in the play at hand singles. If you go to the Cajun Cannon restaurant and you could see that. Look at that weird pose. I said, well, I don't even remember what I'm doing. If you look at that thing, it was all part of the hand singles. What formation, what motion, what play you're going to run. So, I mean, to me, that was leaps and bounds going from hand singles to get in place. Because, you know, old school before that, you know what they used to do? You had 11 starters, but really you had 12 starters on offense. Because you had one player was kind of a half a starter, and they'd run in and out the huddle. Remember bringing the plays and tell the quarterback? But then all of a sudden, the fast-paced game, you get delayed game, and you got to go. So the coach would tell a player to play. They'd run in there, tell the quarterback, and then he'd stay in. The other guy would run out. So then they went to hand singles. How are you going to call a play? So now they just talk to you, which is the right thing to do in college football. Like Jeff said, finally got up to speed to do it the right way.
Moving on to our next bite of Dennis Allen. It was your question, Hebert. We just talked about it a little. He was asked, the coaching staff may be different with this Tennessee Titans team, but there's still that toughness to them in the trenches. And here's what he said.
Just looking at them on tape, there's a lot of similarities in just in terms of their toughness and their physicality in the way that they play. So I think really just like all these preseason games, I mean, there's an opportunity to get an evaluation, and you're trying to take into account who's in the game for us, who's in the game for them, you know, and trying to judge some things based on that, which sometimes can be a little bit skewed. But yeah, I do think this is a tough physical team, and I think, you know, we'll be able to see a few things for sure.
Well, you know what's skewed? And it was like, oh, look at that 95-yard drive we had against the 49ers. No, who are you freaking blocking? Them dudes ain't even going to be on the team. Or they might be on the team, but they're going to be the backups. Who, you got one or two guys that are going to be playing on the regular 49ers defense? So that's why you got to keep thinking things in perspective. You know, like, oh, you're all excited. Now, you got to block whoever's in front of you, and then you got to build your confidence. So that's why I'm still worried about the O-line. Because I don't know, it does matter who you're blocking. It does matter who you're going against, and that's both ways. You know, if your D lineman's whooping this offensive lineman, well, that old lineman is going to be probably in the XFL or sell insurance. He ain't even be playing. Oh, look at him! Look how who's the one who always is outstanding? I think I was talking with Deuce about that from Dartmouth. I'll D tackle. Or Dean, I want to say.
Oh, like, Nico.
Lalos. Yeah, Lalos. Okay, I think he had a game last year. He had like three sacks or two sacks. He had the sack.
It was three sacks. It was against the Chargers.
Yeah, and so it was like, okay, but who is he really beating? that guy who's beating there is not even on the team. So that's why you got to keep it in perspective. But you know what's bad? Is when you're counting on a guy You counting on this individual, Foskey, whoever, and you might be going against an individual that you know is not going to be on that team, and you still don't look good.
Yep.
Now, that ain't good, to say the least.
Our training camp sound bank brought to you by the Sound Banking of First America. I'm going to take a break. Going to get back. Want to hear from you. Anybody at that Saints practice today, chime in and say what you saw, what stood out to you. Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. Be right back after this on WWL. Back here in our Friday edition of Sports Talk, Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, Jeff Nowak, and Charlie Long hanging out with you till 7 p.m. tonight. Getting to all your calls. Everybody out at Saints practice today, want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. And first up to bat, Jimmy and Gretna. What you got, Jimmy? What'd you see today?
Hey, look, guys. It was a great day in the Superdome. What did I see? I saw Bobby. He was wearing green. I don't know if he still got his green shirt on.
He sure does.
But it was the first Cajun leprechaun I ever saw in my life.
No, I'm representing Crescent Canada.
He's got to be pushing. He's pushing 6'5". You couldn't miss him. All right, the Cajun leprechaun. I couldn't get to you, Bobby. I was from a distance. I was in this bunker zone VIP area. I couldn't get to your area because obviously you guys are pressed.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm not. I guess I'm cutting you off. But no, stay on. You know what I noticed? I think we all noticed this. I guess when you have more people in the dome, and I shouldn't be complaining about this. I was talking to Cat Terrell. It was freaking cold in the dome.
No.
No, yes. I'm telling you, it was cold.
It's always cold in the dome.
But it seems like there's more people.
I think you're just thinner than you used to be.
Yeah. If there's more people, though, Jeff, it seems like, I don't know, it's a little warmer.
Wait till you get to the roof.
But heat rises. Yeah, I know.
No, I'm saying the air conditioners up there are right above you and blowing down.
Yeah, as long as it don't hit me.
Cat's usually in like that big, winter jacket up there.
As long as it don't hit me on the neck and act up my arthritis and all that. But anyway.
Now, Bobby.
I don't want to complain because it's been so hot this summer.
There you go.
Listen, I welcome the air condition.
Look, I saw the upgrades. I don't know if y'all saw. They got a 40-yard bar on each side. I guess this is for the Super Bowl. They're spending all this money, construction downtown. It's a 40-yard bar. It's 40 yards of bar.
So you can run from one end of the bar to the other. We can time you. 40-yard dash.
Well, I mean, and look, listen, the Titans are coming to town. They got $3 tickets on the secondary market for this Sunday. So if you want to take the whole family,
bring them on out.
$10, $15 bucks.
No, but Jimmy, that's a good point you're making about because some people cannot afford to take their kid to a regular season game. Listen, some young kids, they just know they're going to a Saints game. They don't know the game doesn't count. Yeah. Dad, we're going to the Saints game?
Plus, I think a lot of kids are excited about Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener.
It's true. This is when you're going to see him.
Kids that just want to go to a football game. Yeah, go ahead.
Bobby, that's the only game I would take my kids to because it allows them to run away from me. I can watch the game in some peace because there's a little bit of room. All right. I told you I would talk to Trevor Penning. I did not see him at Yeoman, but I did see him today. And I said, look, brother, you're the starter. You're going to be the starter. I don't care what everybody's saying. He said yes, sir, to me. It kind of made me feel old because I guess I'm old enough to be his dad. I'm in my 40s. But he was like, yes, sir. And I gave him that acknowledgement that with the Who Dat Nation is behind you. And I saw him light up.
Damn, the Saints should hire you, Jimmy. What, you a sports psychologist?
You know what? I'm waiting for my check. Gail Benson, come on. Write it out, man. Write it out, brother. The Who Dat Croatian. Come on, write out the check from Gail Benson.
If Trevor Penning does awesome on Sunday, I'm giving Jimmy credit. Yeah. And Jimmy, we're going to start paying you. Are we going to be like, they have the one. Once or twice a week before the game consultation, he goes to therapy. It's
words of affirmation from Jimmy.
Yeah, and Jimmy's encouraging Trevor Penning to kick ass.
I do think, it's funny, it's kind of a joke, but I do think for Trevor, so much of it is confidence and mental. And when he gets beat, he loses again because he got beat before. And then that's the biggest problem.
Snowball effect.
Yes. He's not, you hear one play, then flush that play and go forward. I don't think he does that very well.
He dwells on it.
And it's like over time it gets worse and worse because he didn't do the thing perfect the first time. And so,
I agree, Jeff.
Jimmy, I don't know
if your
words of affirmation are going to make a marked difference, but I hope they do because I do, he does the work. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's not like he's out there just loafing around. You watch him and he's trying.
The one thing I've said this, Jeff, I want to see Trevor Penning at a wedding or eat at a nightclub. I guarantee he can't dance. I bet he's a stiff. I mean, he has terrible
feet. Doesn't have sweet feet?
No, you got to be like I told you. Remember I told you your son's playing offensive
dancing
line?
Bear.
You
got to
be a
bear.
Dancing bear. You got to be like fluid. That's what I always say. Teron Armstead and all, I guarantee you. Anthony Munoz, I bet they can dance.
He used to get to like a square dancing class.
Yeah, yeah. It just, and you know, your base, like Stinchcomb, how he's saying your feet got to be staggered. A lot of times his feet are too close. Well, hell yeah, you're going to get knocked over. You're going against NFL
guys.
Yeah,
his feet are close and he's straight up and down.
Like, yeah,
that's the problem.
Yep. Early on at practice, before they really got into things, I did see Trevor kind of off to the side with one of the coaches doing some hand work.
Well, good. Do a lot of work. But I think Jimmy might have the answer. I mean, Jimmy's going
to be nice to the guy.
Yeah, be nice. Sports psychologist, and Jimmy's going to get him up. Because that's the new thing. Look in the Olympics.
See, I would think when you anger someone, it just brings out like the Hulk in you.
Yeah, but no, it not does when you're playing. When you're not losing your technique every time that happens.
I got you.
And I don't think the guys on the other side of the line are going to be like, you got
Steve,
this.
Steve, how old are you? What are you? You're not Gen Z. What are you like and all that?
48.
No, I think these gents, the young people, you got to encourage them. You can't get on their ass, then they'll play worse. They remind me.
So that's what we need to do, though. We need to get the other the defensive ends to be like, Trevor, you got this.
Right, right.
We're not going to hurt you.
No, and I'm telling you, as a quarterback, I always tell you this, and Derek Carr knows this because he's played enough. I always say, you know, you go to college, what am I majoring in? I mean, I don't know. I'm going to go to business.
Sports
I don't know.
Psychology.
I'm going to be a PE teacher. No, just be major in psychology. Are you playing a team sport? Because you got to lead these men if you know you can play quarterback, because you don't treat them the same. We had Darren Gilbert from Cal State Fullerton.
Did you happen to hear Anthony Orji talk the other day?
No, I didn't hear it.
Okay, so one of the things that he did this offseason, and he's had a great jump. Like he
yes.
looks like a different player. One of the main things he did was work with like a sports psychologist. I don't know, she's a mental health coach, whatever is the title, but like
he
credits that with the reason why he has been able to move forward this season.
Well, but saying one snap and clear is easier than actually doing it.
Right. Well, but look at the gymnast, Biles.
Simone Biles, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Tokyo, I'm checked out. Then all of a sudden, look how she bounces back.
Yeah.
So, no, hey, listen.
No, it's important.
If the therapy works, I'm all for it. It's when the therapy should work and it doesn't work, then maybe you're not good enough. You know, then you get humbled.
There's no therapy that can help lack of talent.
No, I mean, it's good words of encouragement. But like I was saying, like with Darren Gilbert, Cal State Fullerton. If he got whooped and I told him anything, I'd say a few choice words to him, and then he'd play worse. And I go, I can't get on him. Now, Stan Brock, if I didn't get on the mountain man from Oregon, played University of Colorado, if I didn't get on Stan Brock.
He lit that fire,
he'd
right?
He'd go, what are you? You know, he would get on me. So he wanted me to light that fire. Man, said, you sorry? You getting whooped? And then he would play better. But Darren Gilbert, I had to tell him, keep working. You're doing good. Keep fighting. You're going to be all right. And he would play better. Mm. Whether if I chewed him out, he'd play worse. And then that means I get hit more. I don't want that. I'm not for that.
Stepping away, we'll be right back with more sports talk on this fabulous Friday here. I want to hear from you if you were at that practice today in the Caesars Superdome, 504-260-187, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Be right back on WW after this. Back here on Sports Talk, I want to thank the good folks also at Magazine Pizza for feeding our Sports Talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza, they also got pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. Just go check out magazinepizza.com.
Now you said expanding the menu. So, you know, I love the pizza, but, you know, every now and then you can change
it up. Want
to mix it up? Oh, get some wings. I mean, who doesn't like wings? Does anybody not like wings?
I mean, you know what? I don't.
You might like different sauce and all.
I don't like boneless wings. That's to me just chicken nuggets.
Well, yeah, but then it's not wings.
Exactly. That's why I don't like that term.
Okay, but again, I like chicken meat. So Steve, I'm holding you accountable.
All right, we'll get wings in for the next.
Come Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
Charlie's raising the roof in the studio.
Yeah. The pizza's good, but we got to mix it up a little bit.
I want to come back next hour. We're going to talk to Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champ, also Saints pregame and postgame analyst. And reminder too, 6 o'clock hour, Hall of Famer Morton Anderson will join us right here on WWL Saints LSU Pelicans Radio right after this on WWL. Back here on our Friday edition of Sports Talk, Steve Geller, Bobby Hebert, Jeff Nowak, and Charlie Long hanging out with you till 7 p.m. tonight. Getting to all your calls, everybody out at Saints practice today. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. And first up to bat, Jimmy and Gretna. What you got, Jimmy? What'd you see today?
Hey, look, guys, it was a great day in the Superdome. What did I see? I saw Bobby. He was wearing green. I don't know if he still got his green shirt on.
He sure does.
But it was the first Cajun leprechaun I ever saw in my life.
No, I'm representing Crescent County.
He's got to be pushing. Look, he's pushing 6'5". You couldn't miss him. All right, the Cajun leprechaun. I couldn't get to you, Bobby. I was from a distance. I was in this bunker zone VIP area. I couldn't get to your area because obviously you guys are pressed.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm not. I guess I'm cutting you off. But no, stay on. You know what I noticed? I think we all noticed this. I guess when you have more people in the dome, and I shouldn't be complaining about this. I was talking to Cat Taro. It was freaking cold in the dome.
No.
Yes. No, I'm telling you, it was cold.
It's always cold in the dome.
But it seems like there's more people.
I think you're just thinner than you used to be.
Yeah. If there's more people, though, Jeff, it seems like, I don't know, it's a little warmer.
Wait till you get to the roof.
But heat rises. Yeah, no.
No, I'm saying the air conditioners up there are right above you and blowing down.
Yeah, as long as it don't hit me.
Cat's usually in like that big, winter jacket up there.
As long as it don't hit me on the neck and act up my arthritis and all that. But anyway.
Now, Bobby.
I thought, listen, I don't want to complain because it's been so hot this summer.
There you go.
Listen, I welcome the air condition.
Look, I saw the upgrades. I don't know if y'all saw. They got a 40-yard bar on each side. I guess this is for the Super Bowl. They're spending all this money, construction downtown. It's a 40-yard bar. it's 40 yards of bar.
So you can run from one end of the bar to the other. We can time you. 40-yard dash.
Well, I mean, and look, listen, the Titans are coming to town. They got $3 tickets on the secondary market for this Sunday. So if you want to take the whole family,
bring them on out.
$10, $15 bucks.
No, but Jimmy, that's a good point you're making about because some people cannot afford to take their kid to a regular season game. Listen, some young kids, they just know they're going to a Saints game. They don't know the game doesn't count. Yeah. We're going to the Saints game?
Plus, I think a lot of kids are excited about Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener.
It's true. This is when you're going to see him.
I'm talking about kids that just want to go to a football game. Yeah, go ahead.
Bobby, that's the only game I would take my kids to because it allows them to run away from me. I can watch the game in some peace because there's a little bit of room. All right. I told you I would talk to Trevor Penning. I did not see him at Yeoman, but I did see him today. And I said, look, brother, you're the starter. You're going to be the starter. I don't care what everybody's saying. He said yes, sir, to me. It kind of made me feel old because I guess I'm old enough to be his dad. I'm in my 40s. But he was like, yes, sir. And I gave him that acknowledgement that with the Who Dat Nation is behind you. And I saw him light up.
Damn, the Saints should hire you, Jimmy. What, you a sports psychologist?
You know what? I'm waiting for my check. Gail Benson, come on. Write it out, man. Write it out, brother. The Who Dat Croatian. Come on, write out
if
the check.
If Trevor Penning does awesome on Sunday, I'm giving Jimmy credit. Yeah. And Jimmy, we're going to start paying you. Are we going to be like, they have the once or twice a week before the game consultation. he goes to therapy.
Words of affirmation from Jimmy.
Yeah, and Jimmy's encouraging Trevor Penning to kick ass.
I do think, it's funny, it's kind of a joke, but I do think for Trevor, so much of it is confidence and mental. And when he gets beat, he loses again because he got beat before. And then that's the biggest problem.
Snowball effect.
Yes.
Yep.
He's not, you hear one play, then flush that play and go forward. I don't think he does that very well.
He dwells on it.
And it's like over time it gets worse and worse because he didn't do the thing perfect the first time. And so, I agree, Jeff. Jimmy, I don't know
if your
words of affirmation are going to make a marked difference, but I hope they do because I do, he does the work. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's not like he's out there just loafing around. You watch him and he's trying.
The one thing I've said this, Jeff, I want to see Trevor Penning at a wedding. Or eat at a nightclub. I guarantee he can't dance. I bet he's just stiff. I mean, he has terrible.
He doesn't have sweet feet.
No, you got to be like I told you. Remember, I told you your son's playing offensive
dancing
line.
Dancing bear.
You got to be a dancing bear. You got to be like fluid. That's what I always say. Teron Armstead and all, I guarantee you, Anthony Munoz, I bet they can
dance.
Needs
to get to like a square dancing class.
Yeah, yeah. It just, and you know, your base, like Stinchcomb, how he's saying your feet got to be staggered. A lot of times his feet are too close. Well, hell yeah, you're going to get knocked over. You're going against NFL guys.
His feet are close and he's straight up and down. Like, yeah, that's the problem. Yep.
Early on at practice, before they really got into things, I did see Trevor kind of off to the side with one of the coaches doing some hand work.
Well, good. Do a lot of work. But I think Jimmy might have the answer. I mean, Jimmy's going
to be nice to the guy.
Yeah, be nice, sports psychologist, and Jimmy's going to get him up. Because that's the new thing. Look in the Olympics.
See, I would think when you anger someone, it just brings out like the Hulk in you.
Yeah, but no, not this. When you're playing, when you're not losing your technique every time that happens.
I got you.
And I don't think the guys on the other side of the line are going to be like, you got
Steve,
this.
Steve, how old are you? What are you? You're not Gen Z. What are you like and all that?
48.
No, I think these gens, the young people, you got to encourage them. You can't get on their ass, then they'll play worse. They remind me.
So that's what we need to do, though. We need to get the other the defensive ends to be like, Trevor, you got this.
Right, right.
We're not going to hurt you.
No, and I'm telling you, as a quarterback, I always tell you this, and Derek Carr knows this because he's played enough. I always say, you know, you go to college, what am I majoring in? I mean, I don't know. I'm going to go to business.
Sports
I don't know.
Psychology.
I'm going to be a PE teacher. No, just be major in psychology. Are you playing a team sport? Because you got to lead these men if you know you can play quarterback, because you don't treat them the same. We had Darren Gilbert from Cal State Fullerton.
Did you happen to hear Anthony Orji talk the other day?
No, I didn't hear it.
Okay, so one of the things that he did this offseason, and he's had a great jump. Like he looks like a different player. One of the main things he did was work with like a sports psychologist. I don't know, she's a mental health coach, whatever is the title, but like
he
credits that with the reason why he has been able to move forward this season.
Well, but saying one snap and clear is easier than actually doing it.
Right.
Well, but look at the gymnast, Biles.
Simone Biles, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Tokyo, I'm checked out. Then all of a sudden, look how she bounces back.
Yeah.
So, no, hey, listen.
No, it's important.
If the therapy works, I'm all for it. It's when the therapy should work and it doesn't work, then maybe you're not good enough. You know, then you get humbled.
There's no therapy that can help lack of talent.
Yeah, no, I mean, but it's good words of encouragement. But like I was saying, like with Darren Gilbert, Cal State Fullerton. If he got whooped and I told him anything, I'd say a few choice words to him, and then he'd play worse. And I go, I can't get on him. Now, Stan Brock, if I didn't get on the mountain man from Oregon, played University of Colorado, if I didn't get on Stan Brock.
He lit that fire, right?
He'd go, what are you? You know, he would get on me. So he wanted me to light that fire. Man, say, you sorry, you getting whooped. And then he would play better. But Darren Gilbert, I had to tell him, keep working, you're doing good. Keep fighting, you're going to be all right. And he would play better. Whether if I chewed him out, he'd play worse. And then that means I get hit more. I don't want that. I'm not for that.
Stepping away, we'll be right back with more sports talk on this fabulous Friday here. I want to hear from you. If you were at that practice today in the Caesars Superdome, 504-260-187, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Be right back on WW after this. Back here on Sports Talk, I want to thank the good folks also at Magazine Pizza for feeding our Sports Talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza, they also got pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. Just go check out MagazinePizza.com.
Now you said now you expanding the menu. So, you know, I love the pizza, but, you know, every now and then you can change it.
You want to mix it up?
Oh, get some wings. I mean, who doesn't like wings? Does anybody not like wings?
I mean, you know what? I don't like
different sauce and all. Whatever.
I don't like boneless wings. That's to me just chicken nuggets.
Well, yeah, but then it's not wings.
Exactly. I don't like that term.
Okay, but again, I like chicken meat. So Steve, I'm holding you accountable.
All right, we'll get wings in for the next.
Come Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
Charlie's raising the roof in the studio.
Yeah. The pizza's good, but we got to mix it up a little bit.
We're going to come back next hour. We're going to talk to Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champ, also Saints pregame and postgame analyst. And reminder, too, 6 o'clock hour, Hall of Famer Morton Anderson will join us right here on WWL Saints LSU Pelicans Radio right after this on WWL.